T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony, let's talk some wrestling. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hour 2 of the program. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have not done our what we think we know in the NFL segment yet. We are going to do that before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. I have been looking forward to talking with this guy for a while. I go a long way back with wrestling. Some of you that have been with The Score for forever know that I used to host a wrestling show. It's the first show that I got to host on The Score. Jonathan Hood and I, on Monday nights after Nitro and Raw, we come on the air and do 2 hours of wrestling talk. And people still ask me wrestling questions, and I don't really watch anymore because I haven't liked what the WWE has done over the last, 7 to 10 years. And then I saw something, I saw a promo for AEW, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested. And the more that I've paid attention to what's going on with AEW, the more I've been impressed with Cody Rhodes. And he joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. AEW is having a show. They're going to be at the Sears Center on Wednesday night. AEWtix.com if you want to go see AEW Dynamite. Cody, first I want to say thank you very much for being on the show. And I want to understand this. I want to understand the importance of the Sears Center in the birth and growth of AEW.
Well, I mean, Sears Center was the people who took the call. So when we decided that we were going to do All In and we were going to do it outside the confines of a major company, we wanted to do everything ourselves. And we did get a lot of help from Ring of Honor, which was great. But especially in the beginning, we wanted to do this all ourselves. And part of that was calling these buildings. And you'd be surprised that, or maybe you wouldn't, that most buildings aren't going to take a call from one of three wrestlers who have no clue about insurance or down payment or scaling or site surveys, et cetera, et cetera. And they were the first that was kind of more generous and gracious with their time. And they were skeptical of everything we were going to do, but they were open to it. And then when it sold out in, 29 minutes, we all became kind of a family. I know a lot of the people who work in that building, and they know how we are. To be able to see them again when we did All Out, it was really special and kind of a vindicating and validating moment. So to be going back, it's 100% where AEW started. If you ask anyone else who tells you something else, they're lying. The AEW doesn't exist without All In, and All In doesn't exist without the Sears Center.
For you to be able to find a partnership at that juncture when you're trying to put this out there and put it together, how important was that for you in your own psyche, where you are making these phone calls and you're getting turned down and you're like, there's a lot to this business that we still have to figure out, but we just need someone to reach their hand out, and it turns out to be the Chicagoland area and the Sears Center?
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is... Somebody asked me the other day, I got a text from one of our roster saying, what's the best city to wrestle in, And what they meant was crowd-wise, what's the best city to wrestle in crowd-wise? And there's no one in the wrestling business, if they rattle off 3 to 5 cities, who isn't going to include Chicagoland, and that includes the Chicagoland area as well. We're not naive. I know that it's Hoffman Estates. I know Schaumburg, but... it still brings in that Chicagoland crowd, and to me, they've been such a great crowd for so many shows that have been presented there, and they're number one, you know, in my book, in terms of, you have top five cities to compete in front of. And I think it's because I appreciate a transparent audience. I appreciate an audience that will not just accept junk or filler. You've got to give them the good and killer stuff. And that's, you know, that they just bring your, they bring your game up.
Cody, I think that I'm one of the fans that, at least on the older end of the demo, the AEW is trying to connect with. I'm someone who grew up watching your dad. I'm someone who grew up watching Ric Flair. I'm someone who grew up during the entire Attitude Era of the WWE. And I found myself not wanting to watch any of that over the last 5 to 10 years. I used to literally do a wrestling show on the Score in Chicago every week after Raw and Nitro would go off the air. And now I'm not interested at all. And it was your promo, your brother's promo that you did for All or Nothing that I went, oh my God, like this is what I was looking for. And your idea of transparency of audience, like transparency of company, I didn't know that that's what I was looking for. And I kind of found it. I'm not all the way in or all the way back, but I imagine that there are a ton of wrestling fans like me that were looking for something that was different than what we were being spoon-fed every week.
Yeah, I mean, we said that there was an audience, and we didn't just pull it out of the thin air. Myself and the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, really all of the Bullet Club and the Elite, at the time, we were working, and this was two straight years before AEW became a thing, of going to really small markets. Not small markets, small buildings in the big markets, and seeing what the fandom really liked. And it was a total, like, I'm trying to think, sample group of us getting the confidence to say, dude, there is a huge market for wrestling. Don't let people tell you that wrestling is not popular anymore, or that it's this niche market. It is not, because millions of people turned away around the 2001 point in time. And I'm not knocking anybody, but the formula for All Elite Wrestling is what those people who have stayed watching wrestling have been asking for the last, you know, 18 years. It's that's the formula. If anybody asks, like, what are you guys doing that's so different? We're fans ourselves, and we're listening. We're able to put those things and implement those practices into what AEW has become.
AEW Dynamite is going to be at the Sears Center coming up on Wednesday. If you want tickets, AEWTix.com is where you can check it out. If you can't make it out there, it'll be on TNT. You have AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays on TNT and AEW Dark on Tuesdays. That usually starts at 6 o'clock. How difficult is it for you to stay on top of what the company's doing, stay on top of what your wife is doing in the company as well, and stay on top of how you perform in the ring?
Well, I guess I don't think of it as difficult as much as I think of it as full time. I work AEW 7 days a week, and anybody who collects a check from AEW who doesn't is already on my list of people I'm not too keen on, and there's very few, if perhaps none, of those people, because that's what you have to do. It's a full-time gig, and it's one that I saw growing up, because my dad was part of management in terms of, you know, executive producer and a booker for Jim Crockett, but then even more so when I was alive, what he did at WCW. I was able to see the balance as well. And I learned the balance too from somebody like Triple H, who, you know, around the time that I broke into WWE was in the middle of that management, even though we didn't know he was management, meets performer, meets competitor. And to me, that's just what makes it full time. I love it. I love doing the mental math on knowing, okay, I want to produce this segment in segment one, but I need to be ready to go by segment seven. I want to be in the go position chair before the first dark. I want to talk to this talent before they go out there and give them words of encouragement. I want to make sure I tell this talent that thing they did that they should never do again. I mean, all that stuff, I love it. That's the job. And I got the greatest education, having grown up in the family I got, that wouldn't have been put to use unless this job had presented itself.
And you seem to be balancing it really, really well. And I look at your competitors, whether it's Rio or anyone else, that they seem to be having fun. It doesn't seem like a chore. And I'm not trying to just kill the WWE. But I am a jilted fan of that brand. And it just seemed like at times that the performers themselves weren't having as much fun and couldn't share as much of who they were from a personality standpoint. And I feel like I'm seeing that with your product.
Oh, there's no one who works for us who isn't going out there and having a good time or who isn't excited. I can tell you a really good indicator on how excited the wrestlers are to be part of AEW. We've got a call time, just like any other company. This is when you're supposed to be there. That call time doesn't matter because everyone gets there early. And the only reason they get there early is because they want to be at work. They want to see their peers. They want to gossip with their locker room friends. They're now building a team locker room that's, you know, only been in place the last 2 months. They want to talk about what they're going to do in the ring. Another thing that's really impressive, they want to talk to the production guys. They want to talk to Keith Mitchell and Tim Walbert and his cameraman and say, hey, I might do this tonight. I might do that. It's really, the environment is infectious. If you come to the show as a fan, we already know the environment's infectious because our audience is much different from any other audience. But when you come as a competitor and as a, you know, performer, it's also an infectious environment. So it's really special.
Because this is your vision, how much do you worry about it becoming perverted?
How much do I worry about it? What?
The vision becoming perverted and the business maybe being more important than the people that are in and out of the ring.
Well, we've got great, you know, business people like Chris Arrington and Tony Khan, for example, the owner and founder. They're really great business minds who stand around and flank us and help guide us. But I don't think we've made one decision yet that's been like, ooh, we could lose a sponsor here, or ooh, you know, that may be a slight dip in the minute by minutes. We really do want to present a disciplined, non-reactionary product. I grew up in the era of reactionary product, and the company that was most reactionary doesn't exist anymore. So we want to keep it disciplined. And we're going long form. We know when our next pay-per-view is. I wish I could announce the next pay-per-view right here and now, but I know what it is. I know what we're working backwards from. So that makes for fun, competitive, episodic television that you want to see what they're going to do next week, or at least I think it does.
How important was it to you personally to try and make the wrestling game more inclusive? And were you worried that even in using a word like inclusive, that there were going to be people that would be put off by it?
I guess I'm not real worried about anyone who's turned off by the word, because if you're so conservative that you think everything is like a social justice and a facade and not real, that's such a terrible way to live. Whereas we're very honest with the inclusivity. The inclusivity trickles down from the locker room and the roster. It trickles down all the way to the fan base. Wrestling really is for everybody. And here's the thing. Old school wrestling used to be for everyone, and it wasn't something that you would think, because there was so much racism and like segregated storylines that they kind of paint old school wrestling in a way that you look back and you think like, oh, well, they did this. And they don't look at the fact that wrestling broke the color barrier before baseball did. Wrestling always had an open mind. And yeah, they used some of these trope and gimmick storylines, which would hurt that old school feel. But to me, wrestling's always been about bringing everybody in and being for everybody. And I think AEW's done a great job of making that so. I mean, we just added the disclaimer that plays before the show where it talks about our code of conduct. It was something that the fans reached out they wanted, because fans also of all walks of life want to feel safe in the AEW environment. And that wasn't something that was hard to do. It was very easy, because we very much mean it when we say it's for everybody.
What is adding Chris Jericho to the company done for the product?
I mean, there's the two biggest stars in AEW, and this is what I tell everybody. And I take myself out of this equation, because my ego can't be a thing in the in the boardroom. It can't exist. So the two biggest stars in AEW are simple. It's Chris Jericho, and it's the fan base. Because the fan base is the ones who gave us the confidence to say they were the Revolution. As far as Chris Jericho is concerned, this is the same guy that everyone in my generation knows beat Steve Austin and beat The Rock on the same night. This is the same guy who's continued to reinvent himself, who has an argument for being one of the greatest of all time because of his ability to endure and last. And to have his endorsement from a company standpoint is massive. In the beginning, I could admit that we didn't need Chris Jericho to get started. But to continue and to go, Chris Jericho, we did need. And he always asked for a thank you, and I can tell him right now, hey, thank you. We appreciate it. But the Chris Jericho we have is the best Chris Jericho ever. He's so invested in what he's doing. He's so interested in the talent. He's not a grizzled old vet. He's not there just collecting a check. He's very invested in this whole situation that we found ourselves in on Wednesday nights. And he's invaluable to this process.
Your promo that you did before you guys had your match, I thought it was, again, it was incredible. I think that you do an incredible job with the microphone. But I was really, I loved how people reacted to it. And seeing even a guy like The Rock be like, hey, this guy's legit. Like, this is what it should be. When you get that type of validation from people who aren't even in the company, what does that say about what you guys are doing?
Well, I think that's one of those things as far as validation that you can't take it for granted. When somebody like The Rock or Darius Rucker or ESPN's Roflo reaches out and you've reached this whole nother upper echelon of audience, you can't take it for granted. You have to ask yourself, what did I do here? Because I want to be able to do it again. But it also speaks to the fact that the wrestling world isn't as divided as we'd like to think. You know, Wednesday nights have become what they've become, with two companies standing opposed to one another. But the locker rooms of both companies know each other very well. And if anything, AEW has helped raise the quality of life for the wrestler. And that's 100% proven by the fact that WWE is now handing out massive deals to guys they weren't considering giving massive deals to hold them, you know, hold them there. So we're doing everything I can for the wrestling fan and the wrestler themselves. It's not just about our specific brand as much as it's about the wrestler taking back wrestling. And when The Rock reaches out and touches something like that, that's a good indicator of that we're still all brothers and sisters, the ones who put on our tights and lace up our boots.
When you're in the ring, when you're in the Sears Center, and you hear the crowd chanting AEW, what's that moment like?
I mean, when the crowd chants anything, I'm happy. You know, you say that, and then you hear a chant you don't want to hear. But for me, the whole job is about keeping them the loudest, the longest, and our crowds are very active. And I know that more than me, the people at Warner Media and TNT, when they hear that chant, it really matters to them, because we're only 2 months in, and to be able to have those chants and to be able to have this type of run is something you really got to pinch yourself about and then move on, you know, because it's really just dreamlike, the state that we're in as a wrestling company. And you know, that's always a very validating as someone who's behind the scenes of the company and as part of management. That means a lot.
So what can people expect for Wednesday night when you guys descend on Hoffman Estates yet again?
Well, Wednesday's loaded. It's loaded. Not only do you have me returning to the ring for the first time and my first match on Dynamite since the premiere episode, but you also have Hangman Page versus MJF for the Dynamite Diamond. You have DDP there to present it. You have Kenny Omega versus Pac in a rematch. And then you're going to have Chris Jericho. And we're going to have an actual AEW World title defense on television against Scorpio Sky. And not only that, but Chris Jericho's celebration. I can't pronounce it because it's like the Thanksgiving, thank you, La Champion, something something celebration. I helped make the graphic for it, but I know Chris has big plans for that, and the Inner Circle does as well. So it's a completely loaded show with a few surprises in there as well, as you will always see and do in Chicago. So we're going for it this Wednesday.
If you want to get tickets, AEWtickets.com. If you want to just watch, you can watch on TNT Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Cody, thank you very much for your time. I know you're super busy, so I appreciate you carving out time for Chicago. It means a lot to me to be able to talk with you, because I'm really impressed with what you've done, and I wish for you continued success and keep exploring the greatness of wrestling and trying to do it in a fun and professional way.
Oh, no, thank you very much, man. Anytime.
That is Cody Rhodes of AEW. Oh, my goodness, that was fun. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to talk like that. More after this on The Score.
It's time for What Do You Think You Know?
So we do this every week during the football season. We should probably, I'm thinking, do we extend it into the playoffs? Maybe. We do this like, maybe then it just goes on to Mondays.
I mean, still fits with the bit. I mean, it's all random anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about things that we think we know about the NFL, even though no one knows anything about it. And after 12 weeks, this is what we've come up with. By the way, I'm Lawrence Holmes. You'll hear from Tony Gill, and you'll hear from Mike Chen, who's sitting in for Rick Camp today with the things that we think we know. I'll start. I think I know that this Packers team isn't very good. And I need for you to understand what I mean. They're better than the Bears, and they're going to the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be going very far in the playoffs. It's just uneven. And the defense was really good at the start of the season, and it kind of gave the offense time to catch up. And I'm not just basing this off of what happened to them on Sunday, and they got dog walked on Sunday. Something's off about it. Rodgers still doesn't look quite comfortable. The receiving core hasn't stepped up quite as much as you expected. It's a team that has a lot of empty calories. Like, you look at that record and be like, hey, 8-3. It's a soft 8-3.
Man, I just don't see how you can say that with Aaron Rodgers. And, like, the improvement that Aaron Jones has shown, I just don't see how. I can't do it. You can go out on LM. I can't do it.
Look, I don't trust them in the playoffs. And I love Aaron Rodgers. He's my favorite player in the league. Something's wrong up there. And I don't know what it is, but I know that when I'm looking at them, I'm seeing an incomplete team with inconsistent performances. Tony, what's something that you think you know about the NFL after 12 weeks?
I think I know Andy Dalton should give them double middle fingers for starting him this week. Like, no. Like, what's the point?
Your mans. Put your mans out there.
Right. Keep going with your mans that you like. Yeah, I'm not. Why? What for? For why? For who? For what? You know, if I'm Andy Dalton, I'm saying, nope. As soon as my contract is up, I am out of here. And, why?
But this does give you a chance to audition for other teams.
Like, there's Andy, enough tape on me.
I know what I can do.
I've been to the playoffs.
If Andy Dalton can look at this and be like, hey, I might be able to get a few million dollars out of the Bears as the veteran that they bring in to compete with Mitch.
I don't think these last whatever games or so is going to change anybody's view on, oh, man, look at Andy Dalton out there. They're 0-11, and they're 0-11 for a reason.
And, I mean, if Ryan Pace gave Mike Glennon $20 million, what's he going to give Andy Dalton?
50.
Sounds about right. Mike Chen, what's something that you think you know about the NFL after 12 weeks?
I think I know that Greg Roman is going to get paid. And it doesn't matter where he is, whether it's with Baltimore, whether he becomes the head coach of a new team and he gets the opportunity to go and pick his quarterback, he's going to get paid, is what I think I know.
Yeah, I agree. When you have something like that, you've had success stories with players like that. And there are more and more players, not of the same caliber as Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson, but there are a lot of players that are playing in these systems in high school and college. And knowing that there is a coach that once you get to the pro level can actually help build something where those players can be successful, I think that's a really, really positive thing.
And he's 47. He's not an old coach, so he's got plenty of time to continue to build upon what he's our impressive resume that he already has.
This one that I'm going to do is very Bears specific, and usually we go more league-wide, but I think that I know that Matt Patricia is not very good at his job. And I'm going to give you a specific instance that if you see it on Thursday, then you'll know. There is no good reason to play man defense against Mitchell Trubisky. If you're looking for something where Mitch can ball out, it's against man defenses, and the numbers actually back it up. In the two games that the Bears have played against Patricia versus man coverage, he has torn them apart. Check out Mitch's numbers. In the two games, he's completed 73% of his passes because they play primarily man. Not all the time, but primarily man. His yards per attempt in games against the Lions and Matt Patricia's man primary defense, 11.83 and 10.19. Mitch's passer rating in the two games that he's played against Matt Patricia's primary man defense, 148.6, 122.5. This guy is literally a rocket scientist and hasn't been able to watch the film and know man coverage? Mitch will back shoulder your ass. He can actually make plays with Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller in man. If you don't zone it up, you got no shot, and your team is going to get steamrolled on Thanksgiving morning.
He wants to do everything exactly like the Patriots did it, even to the detriment of his own team.
It seems that way. Tony, what's something you think you know about the NFL after 12 weeks?
Should Sean McVay be fired or at least his contract reduced? Because he went out on a limb for Emmy and rode hard.
He's cost the Rams a lot of money for
and he
a bad
cost
quarterback.
Them so much money. And it's like, well, I like kind of what you did the first year, but you rode for him. And this guy's trash. You made me pay trash. Why did you make me pay trash?
It's a good, I mean, obviously they're not going to do that because he was in the Super Bowl last year and his team is in the playoff hunt now. But yes, he cost them a minimum of $100 million.
I was listening to
with 110 guarantee for Jared Goff.
Yeah, I was listening to what Florio was saying. I think with one of the morning shows, and he was like, "Yeah, like he had a presentation and always going on record in public about how good Jared Goff is and how master of the system he is, and he's just trash."
Yeah, I
you can't be riding out for these dudes, man.
It's funny because there's a whole movement of coaches that everyone's like, this is the wave of the future. And now you're like, did these guys know what was going on? Or did they just stick everybody up over the last couple of years, including the one here? Mike, what's something that you think you know about the NFL after 12 weeks?
I think I know the Cowboys are still a mess. They have no idea what's going on. Jerry Jones has no idea what the hell he wants to do with Jason Garrett. It seems as if they're thinking about bringing Urban Meyer in. I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. They have a very, very good team. They have a ton of good players. They are 6-5. Yeah, they're leading the weak as NFC East, but they are just losing out in a ton of talent. With a ton of talent, they're just not playing up to standards.
Don't mention Urban's name. He might catch the vapors, fall out, and then have to leave his job and then magically appear somewhere else and end up coaching there. And then, I got to spend some time with my family. I'm back coaching again. How about that? I know that hurts Mike's soul since he's a Ohio State fan.
No, it's fine. It's the truth. He's done it everywhere he goes. He spends 5-6 years, and then he finds an excuse to leave.
Oh, my heart. It is what it is. So, my heart, Jim Boylan. Help me. My heart.
Yeah, let's have that.
Yeah, let's have that indeed. That concludes what you think you know about the NFL after 12 weeks. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice playing during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. The segment is being brought to you by Subway. Go to Subway, man. They got the 6-inch subs for just $3.79 every day. Subway. It's fantastic. That's not even their slogan. I just add that on. because the music's over and I need to take a break. Back after this on The Score. Someone texted me and said, are you excited for DePaul's game tonight against Central Michigan? No, I'm not excited for tonight. I am excited for the game that they play against Texas Tech, because then we'll figure some things out. DePaul's pretty good, and they started out the season 6-0, but I'm not planning any parades or returns to the tournament until I see how they look against Texas Tech. That being said, Paul Reed has had a really, really great start to the season. Charlie Moore, Simo, he's been phenomenal. And so far, so good for the Blue Demons. But the Central Michigan game is not something I'm like, man, I can't wait to go see that. Texas Tech game, holler at me. We'll see what's happening. That's at Wintrust, right? Isn't that game at Wintrust? I'll be in the house for that. Go see how you look against the top 10 team in the country. Oh, I've got Bulls tickets to give you. If you'd like to go see the Bulls take on Memphis, so a little Ja Morant action. If you're the fifth caller to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700, we'll hook you all the way up with a pair of tickets to go see the Bulls versus Memphis on December 4th, courtesy of us here at The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls. McNeil and Parkins today is McNeil and Haw? David just here?
Yeah, he was. He's come back to your afternoon show.
Seriously?
Yep.
Man, that's commitment. Commitment to crazy. Or maybe commitment to getting yourself a comp day. That's what I like. David's like, yeah, I'll come in and work. Y'all gonna give me a day off. I want to go see Ball State. Back after this on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.